John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Mr. Drucker, Mr. McConnell, your piece on Mr. McConnell in the Washington Examiner, very helpful, but at the same time, what's the news that Mitch McConnell is supporting his incumbents? How can this possibly hurt him or them? Is it entirely about headlines, or is there something changed in the Republican Party that it doesn't want to reelect a Republican senator?
Well, look, I don't think that the headline is that, oh, wow, Mitch McConnell is backing his incumbents. But I do think it's significant that after all of the browbeating and pushback from Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell is sticking to his guns. It's just proof that what we're looking toward as we get deeper into the 2022 cycle is the potential for conflict between the former president and the Senate minority leader. We saw it over the weekend in a speech to Republican donors. Donald Trump went off script and lashed out at Mitch McConnell, called him some pretty nasty things, things that I'm not sure I'm allowed to say on the radio.
You're not.
Mentioned Mitch McConnell's wife in those comments. And it just means that for the former president, the feud with McConnell remains ongoing. And look, if you're McConnell, all you care about is winning back the majority. And you're going to do whatever it takes to do that. And you would rather have a united party and not a divided party. And so on the one hand, it's possible that in all of these open Senate seats, Ohio, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and so on down the line, there's going to be a consensus Trump establishment candidate, and there are going to be no disagreements. But it's possible that there could be, and the McConnell super PAC and the Trump super PAC could find themselves at odds in these primaries. And it's also possible that in certain cases, such as Alaska with incumbent Republican Lisa Murkowski, McConnell and Trump are going to be at odds. We may look back on 2022 as saying it was much ado about nothing, but we don't know that yet. And it's the kind of thing that could get in the way of Republicans winning the one net seat they need to take back the majority next year.
Mr. Fund, about 2022, is it possible we're looking at good cop, bad cop here? Or do you believe this is a serious, somber, deep-seated feud between the minority leader and the former president?
Oh, the feud is real, but I don't think most voters care about it. If the Republicans can raise money, as David indicates, and if Trump can vent his spleen against Mitch McConnell, both sides will probably be happy. I think Donald Trump is, of course, a major influence in the Republican Party, but it will be less so in 2022. And, of course, we do know that the legal machinery in New York, namely Cyrus Vance, the retiring district attorney, is desperate to try to find something he can indict Donald Trump on. He may well succeed, and that may change the equation all around, both for Trump defenders and for Trump enemies.
I turn to California, gentlemen, to call upon your experience as Californians. Gavin Newsom is reopening the state, perhaps everything by June 15th, but Disneyland's opening April 30th. The Hollywood Bowl is back. Now, I'm not cynical enough to imagine that there's a connection between reopening the state and recall. However, Gavin Newsom is actually doing something positive. David, is he scared by recall? Why was he so inactive for so long, and then suddenly he's discovering that Disneyland is popular?
It may be just a happy coincidence, John. And let me add that opening day at Dodger Stadium versus the Washington Nationals, Dodger Stadium was open for fans, not to full capacity, but over a weekend series with the Nationals, the 2019 defending world champions, the 2020 defending world champions, had fans in the stands for that series. And I think that Newsom is appropriately concerned about the recall. But I think it's also true that with the proliferation of the vaccine, things are naturally opening. And I don't think it would make any sense scientifically, let alone politically, if Newsom were to keep a lid on businesses and public events, unless for some reason the virus was completely out of control in California, which currently it is not. There are some problems, interestingly enough, in Michigan, where despite the rollout of the vaccine, they're still having issues. But in California, they're not. It would be political suicide, but it also wouldn't make any difference when it comes to science. And, of course, Governor Newsom has said all along he will follow the science. And so what he's doing makes perfect sense.
Mr. Fun, As Mr. Newsom learned from this experience, near-death experience in politics, is he a stronger candidate? We have about 30 seconds, John.
I think he remains accident-prone, but I do think he has a good survival instinct. Until now, he's allowed single-minded health experts to overrun the show. The recall focuses attention that his agenda had to be broader than that and actually take into account people's mental health and the health of the economy.
And in doing so, John, does it make him a better politician in being threatened and then responding?
Oh, he will raise tens of millions of dollars. He will energize his base. Unions will come on board. And depending on the size of how much he survives the recall, he survives it. If it's a landslide, he's strengthened. If it's narrow, it may attract more critics when he runs for re-election next year.
John Fund of the National Review Online, David Drucker of the Washington and Examiner. I'm John Batchelor. It is springtime, and David is right. The Dodgers are in the field. Who can be ungloomy about that? This is CBS Audio Network.